Okay, so we're going to get into Ephesians chapter 4. We've gone through the first three chapters, which really have to do with the theology and, you know, setting up the theology. And now we'll get a little more practical in chapter 4, mm-hmm. and we'll see how far we can go in chapter 4. So follow along, and here we go. Verse 1 says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So let's stop there. Paul, you know, talked about in Ephesians 2:10 that we are his workmanship created in him to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. So we all have a calling. All of us are ministers with a specific calling. And what are some of the characteristics that are, you know, needed for that calling?
To live a life worthy of the calling. Yeah. So the very first one that's listed here, Chris, in verse 2 is humility. Mm-hmm. And no matter what you do in the Christian life, if you're not humble, mm-hmm. God can't use you. He's opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So that ought to characterize all of our lives as we walk with the Lord, that we walk in humility, that we're blown away that God would save us, that the Lord would come to live inside of our hearts through the person of the Holy Spirit. I often think about David when he went into the temple after he was king over all Israel. He went in before the Lord, not to the temple because it wasn't built yet, but he went before the Lord and he said, "Who am I, O Lord, that you have brought me this far? Mm. What is my father's house?" And he was humble. God could use David because he was humble. And so in our walk with the Lord, if we're going to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which we've been called, we have to be humble. We have to realize that anything that I do that matters on eternity's clock is mm-hmm. because I get out of the way and mm-hmm. let the Lord do it through me. Because whatever I do is wood, hay, and stubble. What he does through me is gold, silver, and precious stone. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Humility is an interesting one because humility is something that we have to choose. You know, in Philippians 2, it says he humbled himself. So he chose humility.
Right.
And you can't say like, I'm working on being humble. I'm, you know, aren't I doing good at being humble?
Yeah.
Then you'll lose that right away. So we have to really practice that one. What are some other characteristics?
Well, then he says humility and gentleness. Sometimes we think of gentleness as being weakness. Mm-hmm. If a person's gentle, then he's probably weak. Mm-hmm. But Jesus is gentle. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle mm-hmm. and humble in heart." So the Lord is both those things, gentle and humble. Gentleness is connected to meekness. It's power under control. Mm-hmm. They would say about horses, when you would break a horse so that you could ride that horse had been meeked, still had power, but it was power under control. It's not wild anymore. It's under control. And so we are to be gentle. And Chris, you know, one of the things we've talked about before is the difference between preaching and talking to people one-on-one. And so most of our listeners are not going to be preaching. They're going to be talking to people. Mm-hmm. God's going to have them, as we get into this passage, you're going to see we all have spiritual gifts and we all have callings from the Lord. Most of it is going to be in small settings, one-on-one, one-on-two, one-on-three, mm-hmm. something like that. So you're not preaching in that instance. And so you might see me from the pulpit or Chris from the pulpit, and we'll mm-hmm. say some things that are direct and seem not harsh, but
strong.
Just kind of strong. And you say, "Well, maybe I'm supposed to be like that." Mm-hmm. Not when you talk one-on-one to
somebody. You want to turn people off.
Right.
You know.
Right. And so I learned that the hard way in college because I was listening to preaching and I thought, mm-hmm. oh, that's how you do it. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to this one girl in my apartment complex and she's like, "Man, I hate you. You're terrible." And so it was having the opposite effect. And I learned, you know, the hard way that it's gentleness mm-hmm. that creates avenues to have dialogue with people.
Mm-hmm. So listening back and forth, allowing them to feel, you know, comfortable that they can talk to you and then back and forth, one-on-one.
Right.
So that's gentleness. And,
you know, you're going to speak the truth to them, but you're going to do it in a gentle way.
Pick your spots and stuff.
Right.
Right. Okay. All these characteristics, too, are wonderful, don't you think, in the time that we're in with all that's going on? I mean, it's a great list for us.
Right. Well, okay, so social media. Mm-hmm. Oh. People are not gentle on
right.
social media.
Right.
They're not patient with people. They don't show forbearance, which means to put up with one another. Mm-hmm. They just kind of blast. Mm-hmm. And everybody seems to be on edge. So if you post something and somebody says something to the contrary, then you come back with them. And
if you get a word wrong or anything, they're
right.
just all over you.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, Scripture says, don't return insult for insult, but give a blessing instead, for we've been called for this very purpose, that we might inherit a blessing. And mm-hmm. so when we're walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, if somebody comes at us in a negative way, in a harsh way, we don't respond in kind. We respond in love mm-hmm. and in patience and forbearance and gentleness.
And what about the positives? What are some of the good things that happen when we live out these qualities?
Well, as Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. And so people can disagree and vehemently disagree with someone's, claim that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the only way to heaven. Mm-hmm. But it's hard for them to come at you if your life is solid.
Mm.
They may disagree with you, but they can respect you mm-hmm. because you're really walking with the Lord.
Verse 4 says, there is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So, Pastor Jeff, talk to us about why unity is so important in the church.
Well, Chris, unity is really important in the church because our witness is predicated on us being unified,
mm-hmm.
that we're one Lord, that we present to the world the Lord Jesus Christ, one faith, the faith of putting your faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation, and one baptism, one God and Father of us all. When the church is unified and mm-hmm. together, moving in the same direction, mm-hmm. we can have lots of power, and we can make a statement in our community and beyond mm-hmm. that Jesus Christ is Lord in our hearts. When we start to get splintered, mm-hmm. and this group is going after that, and that group's going after that, and this part of the church doesn't like that part of the church, and half the people don't like the pastor, and it destroys the witness of the church in the community.
We lose our effectiveness.
We lose our effectiveness big time. And so people come, no one wants to go to a church where there's lots of infighting.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sense it when you go to a service. It's like, I don't think these people like each other.
Mm-hmm.
The people sitting over there don't seem to like the people over here, and nobody seems to like the guy on the platform.
People can read that,
Right. It's just like when you go to somebody's house for dinner or something like that, you can tell if the husband and wife aren't getting along.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you can tell when they are, when they really love each other. And when there's love, that just permeates the home. And when there's unity, that permeates the home. And so that's critical in the church, that we are unified around the major things, around the Lord Jesus, around faith in Christ alone, mm-hmm. around baptism, and that God is over all. And as it says, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling.
Mm-hmm.
So the Holy Spirit is what draws us together, because the Holy Spirit of God who lives in you mm-hmm. also lives in me.
Right, right.
And so that's why when you see somebody, maybe you're overseas mm-hmm. or something like that, you meet a Christian, there's an instant connection.
Even if you don't speak the same earthly language. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you share this one body, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one spirit. It's there's connection like that, that this is my brother, my sister in Christ.
Okay, good. Yeah, so these are the things that unite us, and that unity is very important. So unity is important. Balance is important. So having an equal message of grace and truth, why is that so important that we have an equal mix of grace and truth?
Right. Well, it's important because we need grace and truth,
mm-hmm.
and we need both of those. So Jesus comes, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So both of those are on full.
Mm-hmm.
We desperately need the truth, because the truth is what sets us free.
Mm-hmm.
But we all woefully fall short mm-hmm. of God's standard. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only thing that can help you when you fall short is God's grace.
Right.
God's truth is needed, because the truth sets you free, but God's grace is what brings healing and brings you back into a relationship with Him. You know, Chris, in any given Sunday or on any given Sunday, you're talking to people that desperately need to know God loves me. God still has a plan for me. God's not done with me yet. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was taught in seminary, you know, in every on every pew, on every seat, there's mm-hmm. a row, there are people with broken hearts that mm-hmm. need to be reminded that God has grace for them. Mm-hmm. You know, because many prodigals come to church mm-hmm. and they're wondering, Am I
good enough?
Can I come back? Yeah. You know, yeah. or am yeah. I done? Mm-hmm. And the devil will tell you, you're done, just
yeah.
quit.
Yeah.
But God always says, you can come back.
Okay, good. Good. Okay, let's go to verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean, except that he also had descended into the lower part of the earth? He who descended is himself also, he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. So, Paul talks about the gifts. He says, my question is, what is the relationship between teachers of the word and the rest of the church body? Let me read verse 11 real quick. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. So talk a little bit about that, about the different giftings and where these come from.
Well, all the gifts come from the Lord, mm-hmm. and he is the head of the body, and we are members of his body. And so it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, we're not all eyes, we're not all mouths, we're not all ears. We have different functions, and God gifts us in different ways. Chris, I'd mentioned to you and Larry today that I had the privilege yesterday of having about an hour FaceTime conversation with Graham Kerr, who was the Galloping Gourmet. He and I have gotten to be friends. He lives in Seattle. He's 86 years old, and we've gotten to be friends, and I love that guy. He's just such a sweet-spirited guy, a godly guy, loves the Lord. Well, we were talking. He and I are so different. Mm-hmm. He is mercy deluxe, mm. and I'm a lot more truth and prophetic type bent. Mm-hmm. And so I had told him before, you know, I'm a lot more like John the Baptist than John the Apostle. Mm-hmm. And he would be a lot more like John the Apostle, you mm-hmm. know, children love one another and that kind of thing. And so together we can be a good team when you have people with different gifts. On our staff, we want to have people with different gifts because if everybody is a mouth, then we have no hearing. If mm-hmm. we have no seeing, so we want people with different gifts. And the Lord gifts people according to what He sees that He wants that person to do. And not everybody gets the same gift. Not everybody gets gifted the same amount. Mm-hmm. So, 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. Mm-hmm. So some people might have a gift of teaching that is much stronger than someone else who has the gift mm-hmm. of teaching. They're both good teachers, but one is really going to be like, wow, that was out of sight. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I think of Chuck Swindoll. Mm-hmm. Chuck Swindoll has a gift of teaching in spades. I mean, mm-hmm. he is really, really good.
Articulating the truths.
Right, and able to break it down and that kind of thing. So all of that comes from the Lord. And Chris, where it says here in verse 8, when he's quoting from Psalm 68, he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, he gave gifts to men. It says, now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts mm-hmm. of the earth? And it says, he who descended is himself, also he who has ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Well, we know that he descended mm-hmm. because Jesus is God who became a man, so he descended.
From heaven to earth.
Right. Philippians 2, mm-hmm. the kenosis passage, he emptied himself. Mm-hmm. So he descended. But when it says he descended into the lower parts mm-hmm. of the earth.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
That's where you have some questions on that. Some say, well, that just means he became a man. Others say, no, that means that when he died, he went to Sheol, mm-hmm. The place of the dead. And others say, no, it just means that he went into the grave. That's mm-hmm. how he descended. Mm-hmm. I'm not real sure exactly which one of those fits, but I do know that before Christ died on the cross, if you had a believer who died, they didn't go to heaven. Mm-hmm. They went to a place called paradise, mm-hmm. or a place called Abraham's bosom, which was like heaven, but it's not the same, because the sacrifice had to be paid for them to be able to go to heaven.
Right.
So it makes sense to me, you know, as Jesus told the thief on the cross, truly, 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 I say to you today, you shall be with me in paradise. Mm-hmm. So he went to paradise. Is Jesus talking about heaven, or is he talking about Abraham's bosom, paradise? Well, if he's talking about a different place in Sheol, Sheol's the place of the dead. Mm-hmm. You have two compartments. You have Hades, mm-hmm. which is the unrighteous dead, and you have Abraham's bosom or paradise, which is the righteous dead. In between, there's this chasm, as mm-hmm. it says in Luke chapter 16, so you can't cross over. Remember, the rich man said, send Lazarus to take a drop of water and put it on my tongue. I'm in agony in this flame. Mm-hmm. Well, if Jesus went to the place of the righteous dead, Abraham's bosom or paradise, then he would have emptied that out, because he would have taken all those people and said, hey, guys, I'm the one that you believed on. Mm-hmm. You didn't know my name. Mm-hmm. You had faith in God's provision. Well, I am God's provision. And he led them captive to heaven and emptied out paradise. That could be what that means, which is a pretty cool visual.
Yeah.
Jesus did not go to hell for those 3 days, mm-hmm. but he definitely went to paradise, because mm-hmm. he says that. And that would have been the place with all the righteous dead mm-hmm. before the cross, and he would take them to the Father's house.
Yeah, praise God. That's good. Yeah. Okay, back to verse 11 and then reading forward. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So
that's a mouthful.
That is a mouthful, but it's, man, so good. So going back to towards the beginning there, chapter or verse 11 into 12. So what is the relationship of the teachers of the word to the rest of the church body? Why are the teachers of the word so important?
Teachers of the word are critically important because they're the ones that God uses to grow up the saints. Uh-huh. And to where it says, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, literally for the mending of the nets. That's uh-huh. the visual that's used there, to the building up of the body of Christ. And so we need God. God brings... in the early days, he had apostles. Before the scripture was written, he had apostles and prophets before the New Testament scripture. Now, I believe that the office of the apostle and the office of the prophet to foretell what was mm-hmm. going on, those don't exist anymore. Those were foundational ministries, but now we have the Word of God, we have the canon of the New Testament, and so now we just have evangelists, which would mm-hmm. be, consider those missionaries. Evangelists that come into the church, but evangelists that go outside into different countries and things like that, church planters and things like that, evangelists and pastors and teachers. Many believe that that's one office, the pastor-teacher. The way it's constructed in the Greek makes it sound like it's one office, not the pastor and then the teacher over here, but it's the pastor-teacher. Mm-hmm. The pastor is to be able to teach. It says in the book of 1 Timothy that the pastor has to be able to teach, because that's a principal function of his role, is to mm-hmm. teach the people. And so they desperately need to be fed on the Word of God. So I see my job at the church, mm-hmm. two critical things that I need to do, mm-hmm. lead and feed. Mm-hmm. And so I can't feed you unless I feed myself. Mm-hmm. So I can't give you what I don't have. And so I have to spend time in the Word so it works in my own heart, so then it can come out and be something that's beneficial to the hearer. And That's why I have to really watch my heart, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. I have to be careful that I don't allow sin, laziness, complacency to get in my heart, because that's going to affect what I'm able to give out.
Okay, so you teach and preach so that the body of Christ can grow to maturity.
Right.
But according to Paul in this passage, who is called to do the ministry?
All of us.
Yeah.
We're all called to minister until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man. We all have the onus on us to grow. Mm-hmm. Nobody gets a pass mm-hmm. and says, well, you know, Chris and Jeff have to grow, but right. I don't have to grow because, right. you know, I'm just a lowly Christian. Mm-hmm. Ground's all level at the foot of the cross. Mm-hmm. And so we may have different functions mm-hmm. because we're different parts of the body. But, you know, if my foot says, well, I don't have a very good position, I'm not seen, nobody sees Jeff's foot. If my foot doesn't work.
Pretty important.
Yeah, it's really important. I like what Rick Warren says. He says the most important parts of your body, you don't see them. Mm-hmm. Your heart, your That's lungs, good. Your kidneys, your yeah. liver, you don't see those things.
Pretty important, vital. Yeah.
Really vital. And so you might have a position at the church and your gifting might be such that you say, well, it's really not very important. It is important. Mm-hmm. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And so we need one another to be functioning in the capacity that God has called us to function.
Yeah, so we're all called to do ministry. And Pastor Jeff and I and others on staff, we do ministry here at the church. We're primarily here at the church doing ministry. But you're all ministers doing ministry in your neighborhood, in your workplace, with your family.
Right.
You know, you have a huge function. You're vital to that. So I pray that you see that as a calling from God to use the gifts that you've been given to minister there. Maybe not right here on Moore's Lane, but in different places you're a minister.
Right, and so people like Tim Tebow, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know, Tim Tebow was, I think he was very faithful in his church. He went to First Baptist Jacksonville for a long time. Mm-hmm. But his platform was huge, and he used that mm-hmm. as a mechanism and as a vehicle to share Christ and to stand for Christ. You know, that one time I read where he put on the black, John 3:16, mm-hmm. and it was like, that was the number, it was amazing how many
people are looking that up.
Millions of people looked that up.
Yeah.
And I think he did Philippians, then he changed it one time.
Yeah, Philippians 4:13.
Yeah, so he had John 3:16 for a long time, then he changed it Philippians 4:13. People were looking that up like crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, you know, hats off to a guy like Tim Tebow that uses a platform to say, my number one job is to glorify Christ and to use every means necessary and that are at my disposal to exalt the Son of God. And he did that well.
And the mom, you know, that stays at home with the children and you feel like you don't have a major platform, you have a major platform. Your kids are like arrows that you're shooting out into the world, and you're preparing them to do what they're called to do as well. Very important, vital role.
Right, and you know, some people might be shut-ins, mm-hmm. and they say, well, what can I do?
Nothing left, yeah.
Yeah, I got nothing left. Prayer is huge.
It's huge, yeah.
We tend to not see it mm-hmm. as very important. It is so important. Mm-hmm. And so to pray for people and to be there for people, a listening mm-hmm. ear for people. There are a lot of lonely people, and you know, the way to combat loneliness, I preached a sermon on this years ago, but the way to combat loneliness is to get outside of yourself and start to sow seeds of friendship.
That's good.
If you're lonely, if you'll start loving on other people, given it will be given to you, it comes back to you, and those mm-hmm. people start showing an interest in your life because you're showing an interest in their life. And so there are lots of different ways that we can minister and make a difference. Amy Carmichael was bedridden for the last 20 years of her life, and she wrote so many poems and mm-hmm. and works that are still studied today, and she made a difference for Christ all the way to the end.
Yeah, that's great. So prayer is a great role that you have. There's many great things you can do in ministry. So sum this up, Pastor Jeff, how does this passage help us to grow as a church? What is some practicality in this passage?
Well, I think if people will realize that we've all been gifted. If we've been saved, mm-hmm. we've been gifted. Mm-hmm. Our gifts aren't the same, which mm-hmm. is fine. Mm-hmm. The Lord's over that. And so some people have certain, they want to have a particular gift. Mm-hmm. Leave that with the Lord and just say, Lord, show me, help me to see how I'm wired, how I'm gifted, and then help me to use that to make a difference in other people's lives. And, you know, I think the goal of the Christian life is this. If you think about your life kind of like a light bulb, you know, some people are 40-watt bulbs, some people are 60-watt bulbs, some people are 100-watt bulbs. We talked about Chuck Swindoll, maybe he's a 150-watt bulb.
Yeah.
The goal is to shine to the fullest of what God has given you. If you have one talent, use that one talent to the glory of God. If you have five talents, to whom much has been given, shall much also be required. Use those five talents to the glory of God. But don't bury your talent, don't bury your gift, use it to glorify God.
God says, what did you do with what I gave you?
Right.
You know, not with what I gave Pastor Jeff, but what I gave you.
Right.
So someone who's trying to do this alone without the body and saying like, well, I've heard people say this, well, I don't really need the building, I don't really need the church, I do this on my own, I have my own way of living out my faith.
Yeah. Not good.
Oh, yeah. But I seriously, I hear that a lot. So what do you say to someone who's trying to walk alone as a Christian?
Yeah, it's the Christian life is not made to be lived alone. Mm-hmm. We need one another. And not forsaking our own assembling, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. So definitely now, as we get closer and closer to the return of Christ, we need to be together. The COVID thing has messed people up with that. But we need one another. We need to be together. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Online stuff is good, but it's not a good substitute because you need to have, as my friend Guy Dowd would say, you need to have a Jesus with skin. You need to have somebody that can come alongside you and really be there for you and put their arm around you and say, hey, I believe in you, I'm gonna pray for you, I'm gonna help you. And that you can be that person to someone else, and God wants to use someone else to be that person for you. So let me pray and close us out tonight. Father in heaven, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your grace. Lord, we wanna walk humbly with you, as your word says, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. That's what you require of us. And so, Lord, we thank you for the way you've gifted us as your children. We're all gifted in different ways, some with teaching, some with helps, some with administration, some with hospitality, some with the gift of giving, some with the gift of evangelism, whatever it might be. Lord, help us to use that to the full. And help us, Lord, to know that you do have a plan for our lives. And whether we have five talents, two talents, or one talent, Lord, we want to employ that talent in serving you, in giving you all the praise and all the glory, and making a difference in the lives of people. Because, Jesus, you came for people. You died on the cross for people. You care about people, and you want us to care about people, too. We love you. We thank you for your word. Help us to always walk in your ways, to speak the truth in love, and to bring glory and honor to your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for watching. God bless you.